let's turn to Mark 14 and verse 38 for our text verse this afternoon. We are in lesson number 8. The title is Alertness versus Awareness. Being alert and not being unaware of what's happening. This is out of Brother Tom Ross's book, Cultivating Christian Character. And so I pray that God will bless this study to our hearts this afternoon. Mark chapter 14, verse 38. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ said, "Watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak." You know, I believe a lot of people use the last few words of this as a way of excusing themselves. The flesh is weak. Yes, Jesus said that it is, but he commands us to watch, to pray, so you don't enter into the temptation. What happens is when we don't watch, when we don't pray, we can fall into temptation. The Lord is so right about our need for reminders to stay alert, and how true that is. It's hard sometimes, and I've worked those night shifts, and I know what it's like to. And of course, all different kinds of jobs will give you. Will wear you out. Mike's jobs, the work he does on the farm, that is hard, hard physical work. But at the same time, Glenn runs from the time he gets up at 3 in the morning until he goes to bed at 9, 10. That's hard work too. A wife raising children, that's hard work. Everything. Studying is hard work. I sometimes wonder, Lord, I can't understand that. I haven't done anything all day but sit at the desk and study for 6 or 7 hours, and I'm whooped. And I haven't done any, lifted a finger except typing. And I'm tired. So we're all in the same boat. The flesh is willing. The spirit is willing, excuse me, but the flesh is weak. But the Lord encourages you and I to discipline ourselves and always be ready for anything which could cause us to fall or fail in our Christian life. We may be tempted to do some things which are not godly or do things which are against God's revealed word, but remember that we should always be watching and praying, lest ye enter into temptation. We are so easily tempted at times. Our minds need to be controlled the best way we can. And if we read, just even going through the shopping market checkout stand, your mind can be contaminated right in that one little place. It can. You read the titles of the Inquirer and whatever they are, and all kinds of evils written on them things. And if you start thinking about it, before long, you've spent some time thinking about those things. But our minds need to be controlled. Jesus made this statement, and so I believe that he gives us the encouragement that we need to do this and that we can do it. Control the mind. It gives me pause that if we are under his watch care and faithful to obey and feed ourselves spiritually that which edifies always, we will indeed be closer and tighter to his bosom. You know, the more we read of God's word, the better off we are. The more we think and meditate on his word, I'll tell you what, the better we are. The temptations which come our way can be fought off, and we can cast off the wiles of the devil. As a coach tells his team, you got to be on your game. You got to be thinking it. You've got to be thinking about it all the time to know what you're supposed to do. Before anyone gets up, before performing, whether it be gymnastics or basketball, football, the coach is telling them what they need to be thinking about, the different plays that need to be put into action. And so our great coach has told us that we are too to control what we put into our minds. Stay alert at all the time. This is part of that taking off the works of the flesh and putting on the armor of faith. Remember, our title this afternoon is Alertness versus Unawareness. This is the part of taking off the works of flesh and putting on the armor of faith. Our text furnishes us with the admonition to maintain an attitude of alertness, to be alive. To be alive. You know, I got a call this week from a guy who works for Toyota, my neighbor, and they drive vehicles. And we had to go to Boaz and pick up two Toyotas. And so I rode in a car with he and his wife, and we drove all the way to Boaz to pick up two Toyotas, brand new ones, to bring back to this agency so they could give them to their customers who had bought them. And in that trip, that I wasn't ready to go do this. I had been studying all morning, and I actually caught myself something new. And here I am, and I had to buy me a Coca-Cola, keep myself awake. Horrible thing to do, but I had to stay awake. I was driving a $40,000 car. I couldn't wreck it, especially on the first trip. But our text furnishes with an admonition to maintain an attitude of alertness, as well as the warning that cautions us against being unaware of what's going on. I don't know what happened, but we got into a real slowdown on the road going out there, and come down to the bottom of this hill, and there's a body covered over. Someone had been killed. I don't know if you know about that, Mike. Just beyond Somerville, a ways out there, there was someone killed. I don't know if they got hit by a car or what. But anyway, the body was lying out there with a cover over top of it. And that woke us up. Believe that. You see someone dead alongside the road, it'll wake you up. And failure to maintain alert or spiritual alertness opens the door to succumbing to the snares of temptation that surround us. The character trait of alertness may be defined as being aware of what is taking place in and around me so that I can respond correctly to every situation that affronts me. We need to be alert. Alertness in the physical realm may only be achieved through proper diet, exercise, rest, and a diligent effort to make the right use of your mind. But in the same principles can be applied to the cultivation and maintenance of spiritual alertness as well. This very statement could be used for the farmer as he tends the vegetables in his garden. If you want a good crop, there's a lot of work to be involved. The cultivation and weeding and the bug removal, the continual watering is necessary to get an abundant crop. He must be alert to see the warning signs of distress in the plants, or if there's animals or insects that are infestating the plants, and you have to be on top of them to kill that thing that would take away your fruit. And so our physical well-beings need to have the proper care and the preventative maintenance, as well as our spiritual life needs. Unawareness comes into our lives through a lack of discipline, slothfulness, and especially a failure to guard the mind. Let's read three different verses here, starting with Proverbs, if you would. In Proverbs 24, 33 and 34. Proverbs 24, verses 33 and 34. Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that travaileth, and thy want as an armed man. With that, Brother Tom has also elected chapter 25 and verse 8. He says, go not forth hastily to strive, lest thou know not what to do in the end thereof, when thy neighbor hath put thee to shame. Be careful how you treat your neighbor. Watch out. Be careful. Be careful. The soldier who is not alert becomes easy prey for the enemy and endangers those around him. Thus, Christian soldiers must gain a clear understanding of the dangers of being caught unaware by their enemies of sin, Satan, and the world. First point this afternoon is the allies of alertness. The allies, those that are going to help you out in staying alert in this Christian life. An ally is one that comes to the aid of another. Christian soldiers may have many allies that serve to aid them in their quest for spiritual alertness. And so true that is. The Holy Spirit dwells within each believer to do various things. One, to enlighten and to guide him into truth. Isn't it wonderful that we can look at God's word and see so many precious truths that God has revealed to us that many people don't see? Many people don't understand those things. Secondly, it does to enable him to have fellowship with God, to know the importance and the sweetness it is to sit down and read his word and be spoken to through the word as you read this precious book. At the same time, as we read the book, as we commune with our Heavenly Father, he also convicts us of those areas in which we need some help, where we've sinned, where we've strayed away, or we've never come into the knowledge of that particular truth. And so we must never underestimate the importance of the work of the Holy Spirit in cultivating spiritual alertness. He will help us see what we need. We must be careful so as not to grieve the Holy Spirit as well. Because the Bible tells us there in Ephesians 4:30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Look at, he sealed you until the day of redemption. So look at what he's done for you. I mean, you're guaranteed this. You're locked in. Your reservation is made. And so he says, look at the benefit you have. So don't grieve him. Look at the benefit. Don't grieve him. Grieve not the Holy Spirit. And how do we grieve the Holy Spirit? By doing those things which do not please God. That's a fact. That's a fact. The way we talk, the way we walk, the way we dress, everything about it, it's dealing with the way our relationship with the Heavenly Father, with God. And also, we are to be careful not to quench the Holy Spirit, as it says in 1 Thessalonians 5:19, where it says very quickly in four words, quench not the Spirit. I could take this water, if I had a candle, I could quench that Spirit. And all it takes is one drop of water rightly placed, and it can quench that flame. Quench not the Spirit. Quench not. Don't put it out. How would we be able to do that? We quench the Spirit by sinning. Through our stubbornness. When we say, I don't care what it says, I'm going to do it anyway. Or our neglect of spiritual duties when we know what we ought to do and we fail to do it. Excuse me. Spiritual disciplines are significant allies in the cultivation of alertness. I'm going to say that once again. Spiritual disciplines, or we discipline ourselves spiritually to do some things, are significant allies, friends to us, in the cultivation of alertness. To be spiritually alert, we must take in the proper diet consisting of the milk and meat of the Word. Job 23, 11 and 12 says, my foot hath held his steps. His way have I kept and not declined. Neither have I gone back from the commandments of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Do we really? I can read that. You can read that. But do we really practice it? Do we esteem his words more necessary than food? A simple way to learn about different subjects in the Scripture, this is a simple way, and it's one way that I believe is effective, is to take a tract from the tract rack back here, read it, reread it, study, take notes on it, and look at the different biblical links to it. Take notes on all the subjects that connect to that. And the more you study, the more you eat and drink of spiritual food, the more cultivation you are doing for your soul. Those things are rich. Somebody has taken a lot of time to put the correct information between those on those pages so that we can have them to study. You know, if you just ate three times a week on Wednesdays, twice on Sunday, you'd not get enough nourishment to sustain yourself physically. You'd lose too much weight and become ill. So then we need also to feed ourselves spiritually during the week. More than just three times a week. Need it every single day of our life. And I know that everyone says, well, I'm just too busy to do that. Well, find a way. Discipline yourself so that you might be able to grow by studying God's Word. Terry has a way. He does it. He's traveling, 2 hours a day, at least? 2 hours a day, more or less. And so he's got messages on his iPod. And so where he goes, he's listening to stuff on his machine there. And you get fed that way. If you don't have any other time to do it, that's a good time to do it. But that is a discipline. You could be listening to country western music, and what good is that going to do you, really? Huh? A lot of people love that stuff, and they live for it. But that's not edifying to the Christian. 1 Peter 2, 1 through 3 says this, wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speaking. Notice, as newborn babes, you know, how much anger does a newborn babe have? You know, when he's crying, he's not necessarily angry. He's discomfortable. He's uncomfortable, I should say, about something. And he might get to the point where it sounds like he's angry, like a hot teapot going off, you know. But he doesn't know why, necessarily. Can't explain why. But As newborn babes, they desire to eat, to suck. Desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. Oh, I love to see Christians growing. It's so interesting. Down there in Honduras, where these people had never heard the truths of God's word. And you'd teach something, and afterwards you might have two or three or four questions before you got out the door. You get at the door and people say, "And what about this? And what about that?" And they go to Sylvia and ask her. That was rich to see that kind of interest, that kind of hunger from newborn babes in Christ. And then it continues in verse 3, "If so be ye have..." Now listen to this. This is interesting. "If so be that ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious." See, some people have just got a head knowledge, what they call just a mental assent. They know something, and they've made some kind of move that someone made them or told them to do. Their arm been twisted. Someone's drug them down the aisle. They shake the preacher's hand, goes through the baptismal tank, and they have no idea why they're there. They have no idea. That's why it's so important that babes in Christ grow, that they have the materials, the instruments, the tools to grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord. Also, with this spiritual disciplines, we must devote ourselves to communion with God in prayer, which serves to refresh and invigorate our spirit. Psalms 42, 1 and 2 says, "As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee." Do you love the word of God? "Oh, my soul thirsts for God," verse 2 says, "for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God?" Prayer also strengthens and protects us from the onslaughts of the enemies in this world. Psalm 90 in verses 1 through 3 says, "Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God." Verse 3, "Thou turnest man to destruction, and saith, Return, ye children of men." We need to pray that we too will grow. Public worship is also a great help to our cultivation of spiritual alertness. The whole family should go to church together. I can remember going back to, we left Seattle, or left Lexington, and Sylvia and I went back married with Glenn come along, but he didn't cry yet. But he was in the oven. And we were headed back to Seattle, and we finally get to Seattle, and we show up at Mom and Dad's, and I can kind of remember Dad saying, "Well, Ted, you know the same rules apply." I wasn't planning to break them anyway, but he just wanted to let me know. Church is 3 times a week. You will be there. And so that's just the way it was. And it just showed his the way he felt about things. Yeah. The father is definitely the spiritual head of the family, and he is responsible to God for his God-given place. The Bible teaches us. Look at Hebrews. We all know where I'm going, don't we? Hebrews chapter 10. We'll start verse 23 and read forward. Hebrews chapter 10 and read verse 23. "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering." See, I have some children that are not holding fast the form of sound faith. They've gone astray. I hate to see that. I was talking to one on my birthday, and tried to encourage that one to be in church this morning. Gotta go, Dad. Don't want to go there. They don't want to go there. They know they're guilty. They know they're guilty. They know they're too busy. They're doing too much stuff. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. That's the encouragement that every Christian needs from every single one of us to every single member of this church. Without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. Let us consider one another to provoke. You know, you might say, quit provoking me. Or she's provoking that poor kid. Listen, to provoke a person to be more faithful is right. It's right. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. Brethren, you talked to Donna Lee about the things that could be coming down the pike here shortly. Very shortly. We could see some terrible things happening. We don't know what's going to happen. But there's a lot of things being said out there. And I've mentioned it before that even the world is seeing that the world is getting worse and worse. How can we be sustaining ourselves? If the next 4 years adds another $6 trillion to our debt, where are we going to be? I mean, you start thinking, the economy can't stand the way it is. And we need to remember, we have to stick together. So much more as you see the day approaching. And then he continues on, he says, for if we sin willfully, in other words, we sin because we just want to do it, after we have received the knowledge of the truth. In other words, you've got the truth, and you said, I'm not going to pay any attention to it anymore. And some children do that today. They get to a point and say, I don't have to do that no more. I'm not going to do that no more. And then there's the statement that says, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin, but a certain fearful looking for the judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sore punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace? But we know him that hath said, vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense. You can mark it down. When he says, I will recompense, he's not lying. People are going to suffer loss. People are going to suffer loss of rewards if they decide to just go off on their own and do their own thing. I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. He's talking about his people here. God can take people out. Remember that verse that says there is a sin unto death. Do not ask for it, but there is a sin unto death. All right. Some do not believe that this is speaking of us today, this Hebrews 10:25, but I have to disagree with them. The more one misses church services, misses the preaching of God's word, the singing and the whole fellowship together, the weaker and weaker they become. The harder then it is for them to get back to the same level of faithfulness they once had. Look, and I've seen this happen over and over again in different places. Places that I've pastored, churches that I've started, I've warned people, don't do this. Don't do this. You start missing, before long, it's going to be so hard to get back and do what you're supposed to do. Habits, good or bad, need to either be kept up or quit. That's a fact. The faithful church member will be the one who is able, generally speaking, to appreciate the worth of his Redeemer and fulfill his corresponding duty to worship God all the time. He loves the Lord. He desires. He meditates in him all the time. Also, he better understands the value of Christian fellowship, to love the Christian, the children of God, as well as loving his neighbor as himself. Shouldn't this be the desire of every redeemed one? The inseparable disciplines of memorization and meditation upon God's word are perhaps the greatest allies to spiritual alertness. The more we have in our hearts, in our minds, of God's holy word and what he's taught here, the best ally, one of the best allies you can have to being faithful. The diligent use of the faculty of our minds for the purpose of godliness is absolutely necessary to cultivating spiritual alertness, which is why it is emphasized throughout the scriptures, all the way through the scriptures. The Old Testament, we want to go back and look at four different verses. Starting in Psalm 1. In Psalm 1, in verse 2, I'm going to read 1 and 2. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, amen, nor standeth in the way of sinners, amen, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, same way, amen. But what's his delight? His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Now, I don't find anywhere in the New Testament which tells me that scripture is annulled. Don't find it. It's not there, but some have annulled it. Someone said, no, you don't have to teach that no more. Don't have to follow that, no. I remember one preacher preaching in Seattle, Washington, years and years ago. Pastor of church with Brother Ralph Doty had pastored. And he said this. This is what he said. He says, brethren, I have the strength to go down to the beach and look at the bikinis. If you don't have that strength to be able to look at the bikinis and not lust, don't go. Now, wait a minute. You're giving an okay. You're telling people, go ahead and go to the beach? Listen, if you're a red-blooded American male, that is going to move you. Saved or lost. And you don't need to be moved that way. The Bible says you have your wife. That's what you need, is your wife. I'm not going to get any further than that. Let's go to 19 and verse 14. Chapter 19 and verse 14. That's lust is what I'm talking about. It's lust, see. And people want to say, I don't lust. Be careful lest you fall. 19 and verse 14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. That same preacher needs to read this verse. Yeah. Know that? He needs to read and meditate on this verse. And if you meditate on the flesh, what are you going to have in your mind? The flesh. What's going to be upon your heart? The flesh. Proverbs 23. Go to Proverbs 23 and verse 7. Proverbs 23 and verse 7 says, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee. Look at Isaiah 26 Isaiah 26, 3 and 4. Isaiah 26, verses 3 and 4. That will keep him in perfect peace whose mind has stayed on the beach? Huh? No. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. That is the fact. The more effort we put into our Christian life, the more we will be blessed. God knows our laziness and he knows our diligence. But what do you want to be known for? What do you want to be known for? Or what does God know you for? Put it that way. You know what? I'm going to stop there because I just have a few minutes more. And I'd like to, what I'm going to do, the Lord willing,